Lee Patterson.
Well, good morning.
I'm always surprised by how loud that is sometimes.
Whew. It's good for... yes. Well, welcome to our Father's house. If you just joined us this morning for the first time, or you've been away for a few weeks, we're in the middle of a series that is geared towards turning our hearts towards our community. It's a series that I've been partnering with Pastor Robin with for the past several weeks, and she's not here right now. She's with our Riversong ladies doing some great work there. I was with them yesterday. I'm super excited about the leadership that's there at Riversong. Those women just love the kids in this community, the kids that are in our church that they're serving. It's just amazing to be with them. So she's there serving them right now, but she'll be up here in the saddle again next week to close out this series. But we've been laboring at this together, going after what God is after in our hearts as we are making some major steps towards our community. And you've heard some talk about that this morning. I'll close this message by going a little bit more in depth into that. But basically, God has been having us on a really great trajectory here and just shifting our hearts outside our walls. And I think we're taking one of the first major steps of some larger steps that we'll be taking in the future. So I'm excited about what God is doing for us in this. So just to give you a little bit of background, the first message that I preached on in this had to do with taking the opportunity to be the neighbor to our neighbors. And that's just to whoever is around us. We went through the story of the Good Samaritan and talked about how really everyone is your neighbor, and you're the one who gets to choose to be the neighbor to the other person. People are in need. They need help. Individuals matter, and you get to be that connection for other people. So that one was really focused on looking for opportunities to be the neighbor to somebody who needs a neighbor. Pastor Robin got up the next weekend and spoke about Jesus' heart of evangelism. And she spoke about how Jesus would go out of his way. He'd pencil people in, and he would go out of his way to minister to those and reach those that no one else was even paying attention to. And he does that, and that's part of what he wants. Test, there again, go again. He wants us to be following in that same example of trying to find who it is, Lord, that you want me to go and reach, and how do I go and put them in my way so that I can be there with them. I loved what she spoke about there. Last week, the message was about the regional church and jurisdictional authority, and we spoke about the church in Southern Maryland, and how we here at our Father's house are part of a greater body that is the church in Southern Maryland, and how we really need to be joining with other churches, our brothers and sisters in this community, to recognize that we have a certain season in history that we have the responsibility to steward this region in. And God sees that from a spiritual standpoint, and he's backing that thing. And when we have unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace, God does incredible things through his people. So we're in this situation right now. We're at this next weekend, we're going to be joining with other churches and other ministries to come and minister to our community. It's a great opportunity that God has for us. So today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that I discussed about 3 months ago, and that is joy. So at the risk of being redundant, I'm going to go into this because that's where the Spirit's been leading me, is to joy. And so I'm going to walk us through a couple of different topics and concepts having to deal with joy this morning than I did 3 months ago. Some of it might feel familiar to you. And if you didn't hear it, I'm excited for you to hear what God's sharing about joy in this season for us. So let's talk about joy. The good news of Jesus comes with joy. Do you agree? It comes with joy. It's good news. And if we go all the way back to the initiation of Jesus' entry into the world, we see a response of joy. And this is pretty fun when you start to look into it. Now, the very first encounter that we have in Jesus, with Jesus, we see that encounters with Jesus produce joy. So let's go back into Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. Now, this section of Scripture is immediately following Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. So he just came to her and said, hey, God wants you to bear his son. And she says, yes, okay, I'm good with this. Let's do it. Right after that scripture is when she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. So that's just taken place, okay? And we find this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like Christmas in August, right? We'll revisit this in a few months. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Joy was the response of the child to Jesus in his presence. How cool is that? Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Now, it's not just any baby that's leaping inside the womb here. This is John the Baptist. And John has a very particular call on his life. He is designed and he is destined to be the herald of Christ. How cool is this? His first physical response to the presence of Jesus is joy. Called John is the one who's sent to herald Jesus. He is the voice of one calling out in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. That is his entire life's mission, is to go and herald Christ and to prepare straight paths for him. And his response is joy to the presence of Jesus. Not too far after that, in Scripture, is when Jesus is born and the announcement is made to the shepherds from Bethlehem by the angels. Remember that? They're watching their sheep by night. So we'll do that one here. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Because that's scary. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He is the promised one. This is big news. And he went to the shepherds. Why did he go to the shepherds? Because we're in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where the lambs are born for the sacrifice in the temple to cover your sins, right? So to those who have been given their life's duty of inspecting the sheep, of raising the sheep, of being the ones that are birthing the sheep that are there to go for slaughter and for sacrifice for us, why would he not go to them and say, the Lamb of God has been born, the Messiah is here? It's their job to know. So he goes to them and says this, good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appear with the angel. So there's the chorus shows up, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now we see what happens immediately following that. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So then they are going somewhere, right? And when they go, they hurry off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. So these guys are already spreading the good news about Jesus. And it's bringing joy to the land But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So joy is a part of Jesus' entry into the earth. It is a pattern for those that are bringing the good news about Christ. It's baked in. So God's establishing a pattern here from the very conception of Jesus to his birth. And as the gospel gets shared, as Jesus moves throughout the world, he brings with him good news. He brings joy. He brings liberty. He brings freedom to captives. Yay, God. So carriers of the message of the good news about Jesus should experience joy in him themselves, and in the message they should produce joy in others as they experience him for themselves as well. Jesus brings joy. So we as Christians are commissioned by Christ himself to go into all the world and share the good news about Jesus, right? You remember that? Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's our job. Was it C.S. Lewis that said, preach everywhere, but if you need be, then speak? Basically, your life is preaching. The way you live is your message. And your words should follow that too. Don't have the two in dissimilar places. But people should see your good works. And they should know something's different here. We're going to get to that too. We are to bring with us the good news of Jesus. Now, sharing the gospel occurs in various forms, but it should have with it a message or response of joy for the one who receives it. For that heart that is open and God's light shines in there, there is a response of joy. When you come to Jesus, there's joy in you. He brings that. So we're to carry that message of joy with gladness. You have good news. You get to share about Jesus with the entire world. If you know Jesus, you have a testimony to share about what he's done for you personally. Not for what he did for that guy or that lady over there, but what has he done for you personally? What did he rescue you out of? What is he continuing to rescue you from? What is it that he's doing to mature you as a son of God, as a daughter of God, as one who's pursuing him? How is he transforming your life? Because his work isn't complete. It keeps going. It keeps going. It's a finished thing in eternity, but your experience here in time and space keeps going. He's refining you. You get to share about what he's doing. It's amazing. And you get to carry that with joy. See, Jesus' identity defines him as a liberator. He sets captives free. He reaches into the depths and pulls people out of it. He comes alongside people while they're in chains and he breaks them free. He's ever present. He's always there. And he's alive inside of you. When you've come to him and your identity is found in him, then you bear that same identity. You're a liberator. You're one who can crawl inside the depths with people and rescue them out of it. You're not held in chains anymore. You're one who helps to break the chains. That's your identity. That's who you are. Because he's inside you. It's not you doing it. You are the one partnering with the activity of God. Now, as Christians, we have access to joy when others do not. And as a result, we get opportunities to share our reason for joy. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. This is Paul speaking. Rejoice always. Again, rejoice. So joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's good news right there. So joy is not just being happy positive, optimistic, or any of those general emotions. It's not just, let's go put on our happy face, and I'm just going to be smiley the whole time. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to look on the bright side of things. That's not joy. That's being optimistic. Joy is rooted in who God is and who we are in relationship to Him. Joy is the secret weapon when we're feeling, when we're facing trials that we have in life. It's the secret weapon when we're feeling anxious, fearful, overwhelmed, and otherwise outmatched in our circumstances and emotions. It's a secret weapon, and few of us tap into it. Joy frees us from the bondage that we're experiencing. It is a liberating force. Have you ever been in a place where you've just felt down? You just felt terrible. You've just felt like, oh my goodness. And God comes in and He brings you joy in that situation. You can't explain why you're feeling that, but it is the antidote for whatever it is that you're going through. God's the one who produces that in you. He's the one who does it. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, this is where we define the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Joy is the second one that's mentioned there. And the word for joy is kara. It means joy, delight, and gladness. And it is awareness of God's grace and favor. See, the focus of joy is not on your circumstance. It's not even on what you're hoping for, on like situationally. It has nothing to do with that. Joy is focused on the person of God. It is focused on who He is and what it is that He is doing, regardless of your circumstance. Your relationship to God is what your joy is established on. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's in Nehemiah. They've gone through serious, serious struggles in Nehemiah, and they're at a place on the other side of building that wall, and they're told the joy of the Lord is your strength. You are joying, you are rejoicing in who God is, not on your circumstance. So what does that do for us? That moves us outside of our circumstance. Our circumstances are temporal things. And they have with them a full weight of emotion and everything else with that. I'm not minimizing any of that. Your experience that you have here in this life and in this world is tangible. It's visceral. We're not minimizing any of that. But God transcends all of that. So joy is a different line. And it says, I have joy in Him for who He is, regardless of what I'm facing. I can be in great times and I can have joy. I can be in terrible times and I can have joy. But it's not my effort that gives me joy. I can't make myself joy. I'm just giggling and laughing and I'm putting something on because I'm trying to make myself joy. You can't make yourself joy. It's a fruit of the what? Spirit. That's right. Who is the one who gives joy? It is the Spirit of God who gives joy. Who gets to choose whether they agree with that or not? Who gets to choose whether they're going to line up with what the Spirit is doing or not? We do. We do. I can't make it happen, but I can allow it to be produced in me. And I'm not perfect at this, by the way. I struggle with this myself too. But this is what the Lord is saying. The fruit of the Spirit is not about your effort. These things are evidence of the work of the Spirit in your life. You can't make yourself love more, have more joy, have more peace. Here's a fun one. Can you make yourself more patient? I don't recommend asking for more patience. That comes all on its own. You get plenty of opportunities for that. But you can partner with the Spirit when He's working to produce that fruit in you. This isn't something that you can drum up on your own self-will, and it's not a religious act. But as we focus on our relationship with Jesus, trusting Him to provide all we need, and for the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, teach us, and we see Him use the circumstances of our life to bring us to maturity, and we become more like Him. And that's the fruit of the Spirit starts to bear forth in our lives. Operating in the fruit of the Spirit is not about self-generation, but agreement with and a choosing to do what God is doing through His Spirit in that moment. See, the Holy Spirit's the one who provides all that is needed to generate the fruit. We just need to get to choose to give Him a location to produce it. You're seeing a vine with grapes on it. There's grapes clusters that come off that, and they come off of different locations on that vine. You see an apple tree. There's apples that show up in different locations, and it starts to bear fruit. And as it's growing, you can watch that thing forming, right? And then you know it's ripe and it's ready for the plucking. See, our fruit that bears in our life happens in specific locations in our life. And as the Lord provides everything that's needed for that fruit to grow, we give Him a location for that thing to grow, it just keeps forming and forming and forming, and it ripens. The pruning that He does in our life removes extra things that don't need to have that effort there. It's not bearing fruit. You know, when you prune, you prune, you prune, and as that trunk of that plant or that tree or that vine grows, more of what is coming through that plant is concentrated into that fruit, and that fruit becomes more delicious. And that fruit gets shared when it's ripe. So the fruit of the Spirit that's produced in your life isn't for you. The fruit of the Spirit that's produced in your life brings life. What's in fruit? Seeds. What happens when those seeds spread? Spring up new growth, right? There's new plants. See, with the fruit of the Spirit that's produced in your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all those things, they produce fruit, they produce seeds for reproduction in others. God's the one who provides everything that's needed for that thing to grow. He's the vine, we're the branches. And those seeds come out and they reproduce. When you are loved and you experience pure love, that reproduces something in you. When someone has patience with you, when you didn't deserve it, that fruit penetrates down and it changes things. I was talking with Katie about this, and she reminded me of, you know, when you used to eat watermelons back before they removed all the seeds from them? You get those brown or those black seeds, and you eat them, and lots of people spit them out, but you probably just swallowed them like I did. And somebody said, "Don't swallow those seeds. It's going to grow a watermelon in your tummy." In this case, what's so bad about that? Those seeds go down and they penetrate you down here in your spirit, and it brings forth new life, new growth. Joy. Joy is a deep thing. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a secret weapon. In all that we do, in all of our circumstances, joy is a secret weapon, and the enemy hates joy. He does everything he can to rob you of your joy. We are completely dependent on the Spirit of God for joy to be produced in our lives, but we get to partner Him with Him in it, and the enemy does not want that to take place. See, the ability to have joy in every circumstance is part of your inheritance. And to say that again, the ability to have joy in every circumstance is part of your inheritance. The enemy wants to rob you of your inheritance. It's there for you to access. And few of us are really great at doing it, but it is there, and God has provided it for us. It is part of your inheritance. It's like a giant billboard that's floating around you. When you're having joy in every circumstance, it's like a giant billboard that's floating around you because people are watching your life. People know what's going on in your life. Those that are close to you, and even though you'd be surprised at who knows what's going on in your life. And this billboard says, something's different about me. I've got something you don't have. Ask me why I'm different. Ask me about this joy I have so you can have it too. This is what follows you around, and it's a passive thing. You're not having to do that actively. You're in connection with your Father, and you're seeing your circumstances as circumstances. You feel the pain of those circumstances. You experience the turmoil. You're going through all that stuff, but still your spirit is saying, but God, I have joy in you and who you are, and I'm yours. I'm yours, and this scenario is in your hands. I'm rejoicing in what you're doing right now in my life. And I'm not enjoying it, but I'm rejoicing in who you are. I rejoice in who you are because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like Job said, even if he kills me, I will yet praise him. Because he is worthy of all our praise, regardless of our circumstance. And I know that's hard to hear because we're all going through different things. But regardless of our circumstance, God is up. He is up above all of that. He's also down in it with you. He never leaves you and he never forsakes you. The very fact that he's with you in the midst of your circumstance right now proves why we should be rejoicing in who he is. I was standing outside last night looking up at the stars and thinking about just how big the expanse of the universe is. And I was looking off and I could see Mars out there looking a little bit amber, thinking, holy smokes, we put some stuff up there. That's pretty cool. There's detail in all of what is designed in that planet there, and we're trying to go and seek it out. And there's detail in this planet here, and we still haven't even uncovered it here, and we've been living here forever. And that's just two things in a just vast expanse of a universe created by a God who said, I love you, and I want you to be my son, and I know everything about your life, and I just love the ever-living snot out of you. Come here. I know what pain you're going through, and I'm right there with you. I feel your pain, and I'm never going to stop holding your hand. I'm your rescuer. I know what's chasing you down, and I'm going to rescue you. And he created all of that, but he knows how many hairs are on your head. He cares about your mind, your will, and your emotions. He cares about your past. He cares about your present. He knows who you are in the future. God is so big. He deserves our joy in who he is. And when we choose to allow that fruit to be produced in our life, it destroys the works of the devil. It destroys the works of the devil. It helps us be singularly focused on the God who is our Father. And it opens us up for grace. His grace abounds in us. We've put a big old target on our heads for grace to land on us. Joy in every circumstance is part of your inheritance. Own that. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir with Christ. I inherit joy in every circumstance. And when I'm not feeling that, I can reach out and access it because the Spirit is already there providing it. I just get to agree with God that it can land on me and begin to produce its fruit. Let's go back into Philippians 4:4, but we're going to read through to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, thankfulness. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? Guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you're found in Christ, these are the promises that he makes to you. Because the cares of this world keep going when you're found in Christ. But when you're found in Christ, your response to them is different. Because you're a citizen of heaven. You're a child of God. You're an heir and a co-heir with Christ. You have these promises to you. Let's go into Psalm 92. I'm just going to read this whole thing because it is awesome. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your... Tim, this is good stuff. Proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. In the cycles of our days. To the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear what? Fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." He is good. None wickedness. None whatsoever. He is good, and he is with you, and he is present always, at all times. And we get to choose to align ourselves with who he is and rejoice in him. And watch the enemy fall. Watch the enemy fall. The end is written, folks. The end is written. We know who the king is. And we should be on his side. Because he is for you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's a good father. This week we're undertaking a significant step into our community. And our functioning as a part of the church in Southern Maryland is something that's growing here. And it's exciting. Why are we talking about joy this morning? As we move into the community, not only we ourselves need to know the joy of the Lord, but the other people that are around us as we go should be seeing that in us. And all we have to do is say, "Come, Holy Spirit, I want to partner with you. Let your joy reign in my life. Let me serve this community in joy." And I'll warn you, the enemy doesn't like this, so he'll try to bring up little things that will try to cause divisions. But we're talking about this today, ahead of time, so that we can keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and say, "I see what that thing is. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not letting this stuff come up." We're taking the long game here. So as we're serving throughout this week, let's be mindful of the fact that we have the opportunity to choose joy. Choose joy. You can be depressed. You can feel overcome. You can feel overwhelmed. You can be anxious about a great number of things, but choose joy. Choose joy. Say, Holy Spirit, right now, this is how I'm feeling. And be honest with God because He already knows the truth. Be honest with Him and say, Lord, please, I need your joy right now. Produce that joy in me. And we started getting ready here this morning. We're in worship. Do you know an angel came into the room? I didn't see the angel. I was told by one of our prophetic people that an angel came into the room. And the angel was up here, and the angel had gold dust on them because they had just come out of the glory of the Lord, just been in that Shekinah presence of God. Praise God. We had another word that the Lord is coming after things in our deep recesses today, stuff that's down below the surface that when we look at it, we don't even know what to do with it. It's just garbage that we have in our lives, folks. But God is shining down into that darkness His light, and He's bringing joy to the dark recesses in who you are. There's a promise to you today. If you need Jesus' joy, you need the Holy Spirit's fruit of the Spirit of joy in your life, open yourself up to that today and say, God, I can't make this happen, but I can be open. Let me be a location for your fruit of the Spirit to be produced. If you're there right now, just lift your hands. Come on. I'm there right now. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who produces joy in us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who does your good work in us, and we get to partner and align with what you're doing. So right now, Lord, we open up our hearts to those deep recesses of things we don't even know how to handle, and we ask, Father, for you to shine in there your light and bring joy to those situations. Bring your joy, Lord. Destroy the works of the enemy as he tries to work inside us. I thank you, Father, that you are the one who sets captives free, and I ask that you bring freedom in these areas of our lives, Lord, that so easily entangle us. And Lord, as the enemy tries to heap insults on us and heap things that would try to draw us back here, I just speak joy right now, knowing, Father, that you are victorious in these areas in our lives. And I speak freedom in Jesus' name, freedom to the captors in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for your great glory. And so, Father, I just ask right now that that gold dust would just get sprinkled down into those areas of our lives. Just sprinkled, Lord, and season us with your glory. Season us with your glory in our deepest parts right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm excited about what's going to happen this week in our lives because the enemy's not happy about it. But our God is victorious. He's victorious. Next Saturday, we're having the mobile food pantry and we're having the clothing drive. It's not going to be at this location. It's going to be at the Church of the Ascension on Great Mills Road. We're going to be bringing clothes over there tomorrow like Tim talked about. So today is the last day that you can bring clothes here or by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Tim said. But have your clothes here, because these are going to be reaching our community. These are practical ways that we can help people around us. We're also going to be feeding people with a mobile food pantry. If you haven't yet signed up for one of these events, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of opportunities. There's a bulletin board out there in the lobby. There's going to be folks that are going to be there that can answer questions for you. But pick a slot in there somewhere and serve, because it's very simple things that we're doing that have incredible impact. God is investing in our community. He's investing in us. He's investing through us. And who knows what God's going to do by you showing up there? Who knows what He's going to do in your heart? Who knows what He's going to do in the heart of another person? But we get to make ourselves available to the activity of God just by being present and handing people things. So join us in that. Join us in that effort. I'm excited about this. This is good stuff. And we're going to be at work with this all week. So I'm looking forward to seeing some faces as we're moving through this week together to
because God is up to something. Makes me think Aslan is on the move. And he's coming after us. He's not a tame lion. He's coming after us. So, if you'll stand with me, I'm going to release you. If you don't know yet Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as King of your life, if you've not submitted your life to him, and I'm talking to you about this stuff, about joy and peace and faithfulness and fruit of the Spirit, none of this makes any sense to you, I would like to invite you to come forward. I'd love to pray with you for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to be over here to your right-hand side of the stage. Also, first-time guests, we'd like you to meet with us in our hospitality room out by the front door in the lobby. And for those of you that have been following Molly's medical journey over this past week and been praying for her, she and Tim have asked that as I stand to release you, we just come around here and pray for her and lay hands on her. And so I'd ask you to do that as well. And anybody else who's going to need prayer for healing, we'll have other people up here to pray with you as well. So with that, Father, I thank you so much for these, your people. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're at in our hearts right now. I thank you for the work that you're at in our community, Lord. And as we move out there this week, I ask, Father, that whatever works the enemy would try to throw across us, Lord, would just be cut down by joy. It would be cut down by unity in the Spirit. Lord, it would just be cut down and obliterated. Lord, he doesn't stand a chance against what you're doing. And our faith and our hope and our focus is on you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come and feed and clothe our community. Thank you for this opportunity to work with our brothers and sisters in Christ in this area. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be a beacon of hope to people. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, and I bless everyone here. In your name, amen.